Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
My mate bought a toaster. We go through celebrities' Amazon purchase histories so you don't have to. Keep calm and love Dom Jolly novelty keyring
yeah,
and
I love
fridge
that.
Magnets.
Yeah, I love that.
The G-spot.
The good vibrations, guys.
Green dot laser sight rifle gun scope.
I've bought that quite a lot of times, I think.
Right, okay. The sex doctor's guide to keeping it hot.
Ah, oh, interesting.
Did another child come along 9 months later?
Yeah.
Loads of great eps up now, and new ones dropping every Monday. That's My Mate Bought a Toaster from Great Big Owl.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
I'm Mark Ames.
And I'm Julia Rayside.
And over the next 4 months, we'll be taking you through the highs and lows of Strictly Come Dancing. All the winners.
The losers.
The huge name stars and the other ones.
The inevitable relationship traumas.
The gags.
The pitiful gags.
The awful, awful gags. The wonderful outfits.
The complex structure of bets that could leave you better off by £1 million.
And everything that happens both on and off the dance floor.
It's the curse of Strictly.
Keep listening, subscribing, telling your friends, and dancing!
Appalling.
It's absolutely awful.
Hello, and welcome to The Curse of Strictly with me, Julia Rayside, and him, Mark, what's his surname again? I've forgotten. Oh, yes, Haynes, Mark Haynes. Genuinely, do you have blocks like that sometimes? You just go, I've known you for years, I can't remember who you are.
It's that horrible thing where you make the decision to say someone's first name,
shit.
And you just stare at them and just go, I've got no idea what
Shouldn't
it is.
Shouldn't have done that.
Alan.
Have, rookie mistake. And this is my dear friend.
Who you all know.
Yeah.
Julia.
Yeah.
Where's your poppy?
Oh, yes, it fell off downstairs. Definitely, that's what happened. Yeah. I did actually buy one this year, but the paper ones, because I'm worried about the plastic now. I've got anxiety about that. Mm. And then the paper, the minute you take your coat off, it just sort of curls up at the edges and then falls out.
I took to eating them last year, so they're inside my system. I wear them internally.
I used to chew the black bit when I was a kid. Did you? Did you pop the black bit off the middle and chew it?
You know, that hard bit of plastic. And you've got the green plastic, but that is softer. That is not satisfying.
It's not satisfying. Yeah,
like a horrible, really mad smarty.
Yeah, or a raisin or something. Why did we do that?
There must be someone at the BBC whose job it is to make sure that everybody has a poppy
there,
on.
Yes, there is. Now, there's someone on duty.
Not just the dancers, but everyone in the audience.
Absolutely.
I do look at that and I think you are making a rod for your back there. Because if you can't see someone's poppy, Michelle Visage, because it's small or it's on a
They've got those dainty little badges now. So it's,
very obsessed with trying to see if anyone had consciously taken the decision not to wear a poppy.
Yeah, or a white one instead. Would they have been allowed to? I'm not even sure.
I don't think so. I think that's that will be a BBC thing that sort of says, I know you've got your LGBT ones and your ones for animals and your white ones, but this is the BBC, and if you don't wear a red one, you'll get death threats.
Exactly.
No other way
through. For an easy life, just put the thing on.
My favourite thing to do in October is to go up to people who I think look like racists and just demand where is your poppy?
And that's why you've been in and out of hospital so often in your adult life.
It's also because I eat a lot of poppies.
And that. Now, this week has been a bit dramatic because obviously we know who's gone now. It's Baggins. I'm sorry, his reign is over.
I mean, I'd got behind him at this point.
I know you had.
I really thought he was going to go on and win it. And then there'd be
and you
such
had thousands
outcry.
Of pounds riding on it, didn't you? It's
thousands.
Dreadful disaster. But he was in the dance-off with Michelle Visage.
Insane.
What the hell has happened?
Well, the only thing I can think is that they want Baggins to go.
Yeah.
But they were, again, the judges this week. They treat him very differently from everyone else.
Yeah.
So with Chris Ramsay, they'll sort of say, you are just not at the level you need to be.
No,
whereas
which is
Baggins
fair enough.
Is at a worse level, and they'll go, every week you come out here and give it 110%.
Yeah, Shirley keeps saying that. You come out here every week. Again, Shirley, if you've missed the concept of the show is that they come out every week, all of them do, one after the other, do the dancing.
The other thing is her you give it 150%. Well, if you're going to come up with a number that is impossible, why 150? Why not you give it 8 billion%. You know, it sounds stupid.
It was. It was a bit. Well, you know, I like the fact that judges have to just pull things from the ether. Mm. That's their only job. Obviously, presumably they must prepare some of it.
Yeah.
But that they all they have to do is think on their feet. Literally, their only job. And some of them are really quite bad at it.
They are. They are. Bruno actually, he said something this week that I thought was good. I will get to it when
he
we get to the
styles
actual thing.
It out, though,
but
Bruno.
There was one thing that was good, and I was like, actually, you can do it.
Yeah.
Normally,
you can.
Normally you're just making references to things that haven't happened. Oh, it's like, I mean, if you were in charge of a truck full of donkeys, you would be the king of the donkeys. You know, it means nothing. But then sometimes he hits it and you go, actually, that was a really great point made really well.
Yeah.
And he did one of those this week, so, to the point where it was noticeable.
Well, that's good. You've written it down for later reference.
I have done.
Good, okay, let's get there when we get there.
But the Michelle Visage thing, I think there's a possibility that she was, if you like, slightly undermarked in the thing and lost in the shuffle by being in the midway point of the show.
The fat middle is now,
so
it's all
that
fat
she
middle.
She ended up in that dance-off.
It's but crazy.
She obviously is not going to go out when the judges have the call.
But no,
if you
of course
can,
not.
If you can put her against people like your Baggins, then he's definitely dead.
I suppose so. It was like, it was a guaranteed death, wasn't it?
And if they'd been against, say, Emma Barton, or they'd been against, I mean...
Saffron.
What
I don't think anyone of Saffron's age watches Strictly, so no one's going to vote for her.
And do you know what I did find funny? There's a bit in one of the dances that comes up where there's mistakes made.
Yeah.
And they were like, you made mistakes and everything, but the scores were still really high.
Yeah.
And so there was a sense of going, you made mistakes, we saw them, but they have no bearing on the score.
Yeah, that was weird. Wasn't that Karim's dance?
I presume.
Come to that.
You could have a thing where you could have Baggins in the dance-off against Kelvin. And if Kelvin slips and falls on his bum and goes, ooh, a lot.
They have to base it on what they've seen in the dance-off.
They have to get rid of him.
He'd be gone.
That is insane.
But that will never happen, Mark, because I vote for him 800,000 or 900,000 times every Saturday until my finger bleeds.
All right. It's because of the voting, is it?
yes. So, as we might have picked up from the show, next week is Blackpool!
Blackpool!
And Claudia even implicitly suggested a drinking game. So I did join in. I was absolutely hammered by Claudia. 7:15. So first up, Alex and Neil back together again after his 2 weeks out with some kind of was it a grade one strain?
A grade one strain. Mm. The front page of the Sun.
Oh
today,
my gosh, what are they on about?
Yeah, it's very much a big story saying that Alex Jones was furious about Alex, being put back
just
with
absolute bobbins.
Alex Jones. I'm already marrying them off.
I know. But they've both presented the one show, so it's very confusing.
Yes.
But I almost certainly that's going to be rubbish. Isn't it?
I probably.
She does not strike me as a ranter.
No.
She's from a humble tower block in the East End. We saw it on the last VT.
There's also a slight thing I always get with stories like that, where they're about women on television.
Oh, God,
and they're
always.
Like, the important thing that you need to know about this person who you might like is that actually, behind the scenes, they're a monster. And they're
really
shouting at everyone. And it just seems like a bit of a trope.
She's a woman of colour.
Yeah.
Oh, is she getting a bit bolshy? Is she having opinions?
Oh, she must
Don't
be She
like
must be full of it.
That.
She must be terribly shouting at everyone with no manners.
It's not very nice. They certainly didn't look like they were reluctantly repartnered,
nope.
These two. They did a jive to Let's Twist Again. I thought it was pretty amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote someone's come back to life. You know, someone suddenly decided they're in it to win it.
Totally.
You
said that fire in her eyes had gone out a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
I'm not getting that at all.
Not now. I think there's a certain amount of this has been, they have really pulled back on the, you have to be the elegant, your Belle from Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, God, yeah.
They've pulled
Mistake.
Back from that and they've gone, do you know what? You can be a bit, you know, fun. You can be girly, but at the same time, tomboyish and in control. And it seems to have just clicked for her.
They're putting her character into every dance now. I think the big choreographers are being really clever about what she's good at and what she'll excel at.
Mm.
And she's definitely got a fighting chance again. Although I really did enjoy the scoring afterwards. So Motsi, I believe, was genuinely trying to make a point about how changing partners back and forth had somehow injected new vitality into Alex's dancing. But what she ended up saying with Neil standing next to Alex was, it's like someone's had an affair and then come back and the marriage is more, and his face was brilliant. I mean, he handled it really well.
He has that horrible thing of there's the double laugh that the room gave it, which was, that's funny, and it absolutely sums up what's going on.
Oh, that happened.
And then they go, oh bugger, but it's Neil. Like that. And he had to take that. I mean,
but I think he took it really well.
He did, and she came back on it because I think it was, had it not been a valid point,
Yes.
Then it would have been madness.
Yeah. And Motsy,
step down.
Trying to pull things from the ether. This is a case in point.
Yeah.
The judges aren't always fully equipped to find the vocabulary as quickly as they need it on live television. And that's just, it's a hazard of the job, I guess.
Yeah. I thought actually with the judging on this one, and it changed as the show went on, they were nice, but they weren't wild about it.
No.
They were very much like, even though they were saying, oh, you finally, you know, we've got to a level that we've not been at before.
Yeah.
They were slightly almost acting like, well, you've come and done it again. You know, well done.
I know.
Done.
I think it's almost more, I mean, she puts in really solid performances now. I think it's almost that they're pleased to see her relaxing and enjoying it. And like you said, seeing that she's back into the swing of things
again. I wish
again.
They would make better TV by being more excited about it.
I know.
Get behind her. You know, stick that rocket on her by going every week you come out and it's 100% better.
Yes.
Make better telly.
Yes, that's true. they did seem, I don't know, maybe it's just, is it week eight? They're just a bit sort of, it was a good dance. You had lots of energy. Like, they're running out of stuff to say.
Yeah, and then the scores, I thought, were quite sort of high for the way that, I thought they were going to do a hard one before Blackpool. And in fact, it was 7 3/8, 31. And I just thought they didn't kind of push her enough as to, wow, the last 3 weeks, you know, has really changed. She has very much leapfrogged over Emma Barton for me.
Oh no, don't say that.
Very much leapfrog.
I'm really scared for them. At least we know they're going to Blackpool.
They are.
But that could be, I don't know, Anton, Blackpool, it could be.
I think it will be a night of mixed emotions for him.
Oh, don't say that. No, I think, well, I don't know, Chris Ramsey. I mean, he's the lowest scoring guy left in now, isn't he?
Mm.
We'll see. But yeah, she did a good, solid job. And I don't know. Yes, it's nice to see her enjoying it. I'm not sure, again, how much further she's got to go in terms of the performance and the talent and the learning.
You've always said that Saffron will go out in the semis. I think that Saffron is a dark horse in this.
Do you think so?
I do. But I don't think her
age group. She's 19.
Yeah.
There are no 19-year-olds or below watching this show, I don't think.
Mm.
And so I don't think anyone is going to be voting. Apart from a few grannies who think AJ's, they're not going to be voting for
they
her.
They are doing granny catnip dances.
Well, that's true. Maybe that's why.
They come out and don't they look grown up?
Yeah.
Don't they look like a little sir and madam skipping across the floor?
You're right. Maybe they're cynically going for the
I think it's cold and calculating, yeah.
They're literally buying each one of us a best grandma in the world mug every friggin' week. That's so cynical. Anyway, next, it was Mike and Katia, R.I.P. They were doing a Paso Doble. So it turns out it was a Rodrigo y Gabriela song. So yeah. I saw them at Glastonbury once. They were absolutely marvellous. But I had no idea this was one of theirs.
No, I actually thought this was pretty good.
The choreography. Katia Jones, when she choreographs something, she choreographs it well.
Yeah.
And this was one of those. That kneel stand thing they did at the end. What?
Yeah. And pretty you good. Know, she does have something to fight against in the choreography, which is he is small of limb.
Yes.
He has little arms.
Short legs.
And it's difficult for her to sort of be doing the moves underneath those little arms. That are sort of. He looks like. Well, instead of dance moves, it always looks like he's about to strangle her because the arms are sort of too close. But I thought this was not a bad job. And actually,
you could see
he was trying. And the judges say this every week, you know, you try so hard and you 150% and all this.
Yeah, yeah.
But I actually thought this week, I was like, gosh, he really has gone above and beyond what his level.
Doing things with his body that I think, you know, just he probably didn't think he could. That kind of banana shaping they always gone about with the passo.
Yeah.
That must just be such a strain on a back of a man his age, you know?
Absolutely.
I'm just thinking of my own back now. I'm not far behind you, Mike. It just must have been such a, you know, a taxing week of rehearsal. And you can see he was trying.
And as you see this bit, you know, he's got to the point where rather than go, well, I'll probably go this week, he's going, can I fight to try and survive? And
he
looks a bit scared.
Yeah.
And you've got Katia cracking this whip and he looks terrified of upsetting her and sending her home. I do think in this dance, she was aware that this was as far as it was going to go.
She
didn't have that manic.
No,
sort of,
when she's shouting at the end of the routine, like, yes, yes! Like the spirit of the Lord has leapt into her. I think you're right.
This one sort of ended and she just sort of went, well, there we go. You know, fair enough.
Yeah.
You know.
But he did that really difficult thing, which is start the dance alone. And that shaping, a lot of the judges did say that it was pretty impressive that before he got into hold, he did some pretty neat shaping work.
Yeah.
It's just that when the dance picked up, it's
yeah.
But the effort, my God, he was fighting for his life. He really was.
There's a funny thing about them that if they were a couple I'd met on, say I was on a cruise, and they'd come on, and I'd say to my wife, I've no idea why they're together. No idea at all. And he'd be there very friendly. She'd be there kind of Slavic and cool. And I'd just sort of go, I don't know. I mean, he doesn't seem that wealthy. I don't know what it is. And then you go to the captain's ball on the first night.
Right.
They dance together. And I'd go, oh, that's it.
Yeah.
There
excellent.
It is.
They just,
there's something magic about them that he tries so hard for something that she loves.
Aww.
I really hope they have an affair and a baby.
An affair and a baby.
Yeah, they got a 5, 2, 7s and a 6.
Yeah.
For 25 points. I mean, that was fair. I did warm to him this week.
I did. I think this is the thing you said that lots of idiots have been trolling him, and you know, and he's been saying, oh, come on, it's a dance. We should be taking this slightly less seriously. It's just a nice, it's entertainment. I like the fact that he didn't sort of go in on himself. He just said, no, I'm going to work even harder this week. Why the heck shouldn't I? I liked his fighting spirit.
He suddenly,
but it was definitely time.
Yeah, it is. And I actually, begrudgingly, I've been won over. And I now sort of think if there was a disaster I was in and he turned up, I'd be like, oh, great. He literally,
Baggins has got this.
He gives 150%. He can bend his back like a banana. I mean, what more do you want?
He'll get us out of this. Anyway, it was the time for them to go, but it was slightly bittersweet, I think.
My name's Pete Allison.
And I'm Dave Cribb, and we do a podcast called Friends with Friends.
Each week we invite a guest on, ask them to pick their favourite episode of Friends, and then we talk about it in far too much detail.
Basically, if you like the show Friends, and you like it when people take things far too seriously, then you might well like this podcast. Search Great Big Owl on your podcast app of choice, and you'll find Friends with Friends right there.
Then it was Karim and Amy and the crying. God, so they did a Viennese waltz to an Ed Sheeran song, Give Me Love.
6 3/8 for 30.
My God. But it was a very romantic dance. They're beautiful together.
Mm.
But again, he just suffers from this, I don't know, he's so talented and skillful, but he just sort of, you couldn't quite see where the move started and finished with this one. I think I sort of finally understood what the judges meant when they sometimes say, we need to see each movement completed before the next one.
Yeah,
it was just so hurried and
I find he
scrabbly.
Hits everything very hard.
Yeah.
So there's no sort of softness and you don't get a flow.
Yeah.
He just sort of is into the move and then another one.
Craig called it bumpy, which I thought was kind of prosaic, but a really good summing up of that.
Yeah, he added to that. He said it needs to be quieter, smoother.
That's it, yeah.
He said a total shame tonight.
The
judges were hard on this because I think they get annoyed when you say the same thing every week and then the person is like, but I know dancing.
Yeah.
Mate, you know, 6 weeks ago you were doing a thing about a missing hat with Hack of the Dog. Listen to what we're saying. And I think that is frustrating.
Yes.
But yeah, he gets up to the stairwell with Claudia and he cries.
Floods and floods of tears. And he explains because he's a perfectionist and the one thing he wants to do, he says, oh, it doesn't, I stay here however long I stay here. I made mistakes and he couldn't forgive himself for that. And
no.
He was in proper floods of tears.
And then Amy said, I mean, it's his birthday next week. And I thought, this is eight.
They're not going to put him down. I mean, I don't think they do.
But, I mean, I come from a background where if you took part in something like that and you cried because you came second, my dad would have grabbed me by the wrist and gone out like that. And that would have been it. No, you're not going to go and get your rosette.
Yeah.
You're a bad sport, right? Done. And I had
Ouch.
To fight that.
Insight into little
I
Mark
I had to
there.
Fight getting an Uber to Elstree to get up on the thing and go, Karim, have a word.
You are
over
furious.
It, out. Right, you've ruined this week. You've spoiled it.
Wow, we did not feel sorry for him at
No.
all.
I thought as well, I mean, because of the scores, 6, 8, 8 and 8.
Craig's 6 was pretty catty, wasn't it?
It was, but as Karim said, he made mistakes.
Yeah,
if they're going to make mistakes,
you
have to mark them down.
Yeah.
So if you like, two mistakes and that's, say, a point deduction each,
then
the other three judges were saying that was a flawless dance apart from the two mistakes.
Yeah, that's nuts.
And it's not right. They do need to have. I know it's just Strictly.
They need to go on a training course
to
normalise their scoring
system.
Or
they need to have a press conference the day after where everyone says, justify your score.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
I tell you, three of those and they wouldn't be overmarking anymore.
No, it's like a puppy, you know. If you wee in that corner again, I will rub your nose in it. Right.
You rubbing the puppy's nose in it, me dragging Karim out. What a dance this has been.
Goodness me. We're just crossed this week. I don't know, can't work out why. Well, are you on your period?
he was very jerky. And there was Amy brought
the floaty
thing in with the dress.
Yeah.
And I just thought, without her dress doing a bit of floating, it would have been like crunking. The whole thing was really sort of...
you're right. The effort and the kind of attack is so much the same for every dance that he doesn't vary for the ones that need the smoothness of fluidity. He doesn't ease off the gas.
No, and I suppose that's as bad as, say, Anton not being any good at salsa.
Yeah.
You know, it is just a big flaw in your dancing arsenal.
Exactly, exactly. Talking of arsenals, no, that doesn't work at all. Chris and Karen did a tango to Survivor by Destiny's Child. I really loved this, surprisingly.
Yeah, yeah.
I just thought it was a really good routine. They were going on about his footwork not being clean. Shirley actually disagreed and said it was pretty good.
Yeah.
As a punter, I massively enjoyed
it. Yeah, same here.
And I thought his serious face was convincing and good. Maybe he could have been slightly more attacking, but I mean, I thought he got the character of the dance.
Head whip.
That
is so good. But he was also doing something we'd not seen from him before.
Totally
which
different.
Was a serious bit of ballroom. His feet totally different from any other way.
Yeah.
And again, they constantly ref this whole idea that he's been terrible throughout the series. And what we're seeing now is him becoming okay.
Craig really went in on him.
Yeah.
Made that point that, you know, you really have to raise your game, darling, if you're going to be here next week.
Yeah, a complete disaster, he called it.
Yeah, gave him 5 points, said he didn't see one heel lead. Shirley literally saw a different dance and said, I thought the footwear was pretty good.
Yeah.
Now, if she doesn't see a heel lead, boy, do you know about it. So why are they giving such widely different... I don't understand how they can be that far apart in their judging.
No, and it's a bizarre thing where they have... Maybe they're negging them, but it's just that weird
they
thing
They are
of,
negging them.
I think Bruno said, you survived the tango. Ugh. That's as much as you can hope for if you're Chris Ramsay, is they say, well, no one died.
It's so mean. But then last week, when he did a slightly amusing routine that didn't involve that much skill, they all went nuts for him.
I know.
What are they doing? They're gaslighting him.
They are.
They're trying to confuse him. They're like, they're raising him up and then smashing him down.
Shirley also
raising him up.
A really funny thing of just going, well, Chris, we know you as a comedian. You're very funny off the dance floor.
Always cracking jokes.
Always cracking jokes. And I sort of look at all that and it's like, why are you listing what... Shirley, you have never seen him do comedy.
No.
And B, this sort of thing of going, you were here, weren't you, to poke fun at dancing.
Ugh.
Well, are you poking fun now? You can't do it.
Oh,
it's a really,
it's just
really
so
weird one.
It's be like, nice to Chris.
It's like they're teachers and they've been told that one of the children is from a reform school or a Borstal.
He'll try and get out of things with humour, so keep him in line.
Absolutely. Can I carry your books to the car? Oh, what? And throw them in a ditch? No, thank you.
It's
detention.
Horrible.
Just weird.
Mean.
Really
so
odd.
Next up, we missed out the terms and conditions, but it was a bit bland this week. It was Clara Amfo from Radio 1.
Yeah.
Who was just very pleased to be there but didn't do anything funny at all.
No, and she seems like one of the people who any other year could have been on as a dancer.
Totally.
And everyone would have gone, oh, don't know anyone this year.
Or even like brought in to do either Tess or Claudia if one of them was off or something.
Yeah.
Didn't really make much of an impression.
I noticed as well.
If I was her agent, I'd be like, dude, you had one job.
Absolutely.
Like, go out there and just make some funnies and smash it and make sure they remember you.
It's I'll just read it in it like a voiceover.
Just a little bit. Come on.
They had Kimberly Walsh in the audience.
I know.
I love Kimberly Walsh.
Do you love Kimberly Walsh?
I love her voice. When you see her, she comes out and she's like, oh, I'm all a girl band and everything. And then she speaks and she's just like, right, you got to move. I want all of that moved before 3 p.m. Otherwise I'm going to go absolutely spare. You know, she's just an amazing
voice. She's Bernard
voice.
Manning in a lovely dress.
Doesn't matter that my late night call. Heavy Pencil, a new comedy from Great Big Owl, the people who brought you Brian and Roger.
Are you a client?
Yes, I'm a client. I'm the actor Michael Cork.
The Observer called it a lovely thing, wonderfully funny, pitched perfectly, produced with a light touch.
No, I've been taken on as Fliss's assistant.
You're the assistant's assistant.
Yes, if you like.
Heavy Pencil by Anna Crilly and Tony Gardner.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
So, next was, okay, the shock was obviously that Michelle and Gio, after this quite astonishing American smooth foxtrot to Etta James, I just want to make love to you, the package is complete.
Yep.
It was sexy, it was horny, it was incredible.
Oh, it was so good. It was good.
And they got four nines and then they went into the dance-off. So that just shows you now, the fat middle, it's coming true. Now everyone is in terrible, terrible danger.
Yep. And I think, you know, you could easily... you know, Blackpool or the week after, you could be seeing Kelvin versus Curran.
It's
just
horrific.
And then you've lost one of the good front runners.
Yeah, exactly.
I think, this is when it becomes exciting.
I know.
This is thrilling. I mean, I don't
you
like
do
to
look
see...
You do quite excited.
I don't like seeing Michelle Visage in trouble.
I don't want her in the dance-off
But
again.
What
That's
I do like
much.
Is, I know for the next few weeks, I'm going to be having a thing on a Sunday night where I go to bed and I'm just going, oh, this is rubbish.
Yes.
Or I'm going to be going, aha, that's good, because he should have been in the final, but I secretly didn't like him.
You are a sick and twisted individual.
Etta James is one of the few famous people who is now dead who I can tell you a story about.
Oh, really?
I went to see Etta James performing when I was a schoolboy.
Wow.
Not because I was cool, but we were on a holiday in the south of France.
Okay.
And there was a thing called Jazz at Juin, which is a big jazz festival at Juin-les-Pins in the south of France.
Okay.
And you'd get a day ticket. And my mum and dad really wanted to go and see Manhattan Transfer. And that dream came true.
Amazing.
They got to see Manhattan Transfer. But as a kid, I was just like, I'd started reading The Enemy and things. And I was aware that there were these sort of legends of jazz and blues were there. I saw Dizzy Gillespie, which I didn't,
oh my gosh.
I didn't understand a note of.
No,
it was
no,
really
no.
confusing and dull.
Just
so
burbling.
Scary. Loads of French people would go, oh, mia, you know, just it literally sounded like a cat farting.
And, apologies to you, Dizzy Gillespie and his fans.
I went to see Etta James, who I'd heard of,
wow.
I think, from a blues compilation CD I had.
Yeah.
And she turned up and she was a whole bundle of fun.
I bet she was.
She certainly looked a few sheets to the wind. There's obviously a lot of champagne flowing.
Oh, lovely.
But I sat on the front row and there was very few people there in this big sort of just pop
what?
Bit on the beach. And I sat there and she spent, I would say, 15 minutes of the hour gig pointing at me. I was a schoolboy. I think I was 15, 14.
I'm imagining shorts and a little cap, carry on.
she was imagining a lot less than that. And she gave about 15 minutes of just rolling commentary on how she was going to make a man of me and take me backstage.
Whoa.
And everything. And the French people were sort of, this is normal in our...
How old were you?
I was probably 14.
Jeez.
And I sat there properly sweating and
I bet you did.
Terrified.
On your own.
I was so scared she was going to say, come up on the stage and I'm going to make you a man. And
whoa.
All these French people just go, yes, this is how it happens. So whenever I hear
That's
that song,
incredible.
I just want to make love to you. It throws me back to being 14 on a bank holiday.
Did
thinking,
she sing that to you?
Oh, please, God, let Manhattan Transfer not run long. She did sing I'd Rather Go Blind, which is a great big one, which as a 14-year-old
Say
schoolboy,
no more.
That song really touched me.
Okay, moving on, Mark. Jeez, the life you've lived, Sunshine. This man has some stories. I'm telling you, you just do a podcast just telling your wild and wonderful stories.
So, all unverified. The other person in them dead.
None of the stories are true, obviously. And yes, and no one can come back and say they're not. So this dance was incredible. Shirley and Motsy were on their feet. The audience were on their feet. Craig called Michelle the mistress of detail.
Yep.
They were just all lapping it up.
Bruno
and then they ended up in the
dance-off. She was the Strictly Sassy Housewife of the Year award. round winner, I presume.
Really glad he bothered to spend the oxygen saying that.
I was thinking about this. Now Strictly, obviously, is a the guy who came up with it.
Is it Eric something?
Eric something. And he was the founder of Mecca Ballrooms, or the big
that's
managing
right.
director.
Yeah,
and he came up with Miss World as well.
Oh, that's right.
And I was thinking it'd be brilliant if he came up with Housewife of the Year. And if the BBC put it on, imagine the column inches. People would be like, it's disgusting. Everyone would watch it and
open
it would turn
to all
out
genders.
To be great. Yeah, Housewife of the Year.
Yeah.
Oh, look at those steps. Eight.
Yes, perhaps not. Slightly dull television. Mm.
But she looked great as well, dressed as that 50s housewife.
Everything about it was gorgeous.
It really was.
They could have done no more. The spin lift near the end.
No, the lifts were beautiful.
Gorgeous.
Really good.
Yeah.
I do think, again, if you have that thing where Craig gives a nine and the other three judges give three nines,
Yes. They
are undermarking.
They are.
If Craig gives a nine, that is worth a Motsy, Shirley and Bruno 10,
exactly.
If not 12.
Always, almost without question. Yeah, there wasn't like a moment in it where you thought she hasn't quite got this or the poise was lost
you didn't
the
look
steps
at it and go,
wrong.
Yeah, or it was the wrong dance mm-hmm. or it was, you know, it just didn't quite work or it wasn't bold enough. It
weird
was
marking.
Everything. It was superb.
Yeah, no, agreed. So just if you like someone, vote for them for Criven's sake. Next up, my favourites, Emma and Anton, did their couple's choice, Theatre Jazz.
Yeah.
So it was fully Fosse, bowler hats, little waistcoat
thing. Yeah, Theatre Jazz is now my new least favourite form of music and
come
dance.
Come on!
Do you know what? This was done, I think, last year with Faye from Steps.
Oh, that's right, with the long ponytail they were swinging
yeah,
around.
Yeah, was it Giovanni who
was I think it
partner?
Was, actually. Yeah,
and
yeah.
she did that, and that was...
It was knockout.
Knockout.
It was
because
knockout.
It was done so well.
Yeah.
And this one, it relied on them doing the same moves, mirroring.
And they did talk about that a little bit off sometimes.
And they were. They were really off.
I still really loved it, though. They did get an 8, a 9, and 2 8s. So
that's not
exactly bad. It's only a couple of marks less than Michelle and Gio. But I love that song as well, Right Now. I liked the styling of it, the way they started sort of back-to-back in that kind of backlit square.
Yeah. The start looked great. And I was like, this is going to be something
special. I thought it was going Faye from Steps in that direction.
But. It looked like a sort of like clockwork orange sort of Fosse thing.
Yeah,
then Anton comes up and he's got that look on his face. And I just thought, it's like you sort of say, which of the Rent Boys has been working here the longest? And you'd go, well, it's Anton because he's been here since 1974.
You are mean.
Good evening, Squire. He had that really, it just looked weird. What it reminded me of, the mirroring thing, is... Do you remember on things like Generation Game or Mr. and Mrs.? They'd take the couples apart and they'd go, we're going to teach you a dance routine.
Yes.
And then we'll put you together and we'll see it for the first time. It slightly had that, where they both knew the moves.
Have you seen Flirty Dancing on Channel 4?
No.
Sorry, I just need to flag this up.
Oh, the one because, where the couples are taught to dance.
Yes,
I have.
Beautiful. So I think this might be Series 2, but it's on Channel 4. Ashley Banjo, from that dance troupe that was on, you know, Britain's Got Talent, whatever, years ago, he separately meets two singles who've been sort of vaguely matched by the production team. They don't know each other. They both learn a dance routine with another professional, and then they meet in, like, it's like La La Land. They kind of meet in a park or on a bridge or something or on a pier, and they see each other the first time, and then they have to do the dance.
They just go into their dance without
speaking.
And genuinely,
it's just this week's episode, I cried like a broken tap.
There's one with two lads doing a dance in a art museum. And it is a proper waterworks.
Yes,
it's
yes.
just the most beautiful
it's
thing.
It's so emotional because they see each other. They're not allowed to speak. They have to dance. They put loads of really intimate moves in. And then you can just see them smiling and sparking off each other. And it's just, God, it's
just that thing
beautiful.
Of throwing two strangers together. They do one dance and you go, that forms an emotional connection that can't be broken.
Yep.
Imagine being a professional on this show.
Oh, I know.
Just continuously, I've got another one going to fall in love with me this year.
It must just happen with every couple every year without fail. Even if they don't do anything, they all just fall in love with their dance partners. You can't help it. Someone did say that one year, actually. Someone who wasn't embroiled in a scandal, but they just said, yes, of course you do. You love them. I think it might have been Jeremy Vine, because he had Karen, didn't he? Just like, yes, there's this incredibly athletic, beautiful person rubbing themselves against you for like 14 hours a day. Yes, of course you fall in love with them. Duh.
This is all good. Like, so I know now that if I ever, not that I will, kidnap Karen, I just have to make her dance
She's
with me.
Upping everything has security by the week. It's fine.
It doesn't matter. I'm very inventive. But yeah, there was a lovely bit actually as this started, which was when Tess sort of said, coming up next, it's Emma and Anton. And there was a lady sort of probably in her 60s in the audience. And she just went, yes, and did a fist pump. Yes, Anton, yes.
Oh, I missed her.
I thought it was really
sweet.
See,
now those people, they are in on Saturday night and they are picking up the phone. So I think you'd be surprised if Emma and Anton ever end up in a dance-off. I should be very surprised indeed.
There's a thing in my mind that I can't shake, that there was once a dance-off between Catherine Tildesley and Emma Barton.
No.
But I realise there isn't. I just feel
just
that
willing
way.
It to happen.
I really was. Whoever didn't go that week should have gone the next week.
I'd rather Saffron and Karim, frankly.
Really?
Yeah.
You're mad.
No.
You're mad.
Get them out of here. Actually, no, I really like Amy, so I feel bad for saying that now.
Yeah, but Emma Barton, I do not think she has it. I don't think she's going to suddenly turn a corner and it's going to be the most beautiful dance you've ever seen.
No, I disagree. She's going to do something incredibly boring and beautiful at Blackpool next week and take everyone's breath away.
Is she better than Saffron? Is she better than Michelle Visage?
She's not better than either of them yet.
What is it with you and Barton? What, have you put a lot of money on Barton? And this is all part of it.
I'm not a betting woman, as you know.
What is wrong with your eyes? What has happened?
There's something lovely about her that I just like watching. I think sometimes there's a quality that just draws your eye and makes you sort of, root for them. There's something about her that's, because she's not the best, you know, I'm British, I like an underdog. And also because Anton's, I don't know, how many more series is he going to do? I know they won't win. I would love them to get, I don't know, semi-final maybe.
Yeah.
That would be incredible. They might not. I do admit that.
I think they will either go at Blackpool or they will go the week after.
I think someone else will probably get Blackpool, but yes, you're probably right.
Yeah, I thought Shirley summed up for me, again, where the judges were, they really liked this, and I couldn't understand it because the dance that I'd seen, I was a bit like, well, that was a bit amateurish. All eights.
No!
And a nine from Motsy. And Shirley, her thing, when she gives it an eight, she said, generally, one of your better dances.
Yeah, I know. They were a little bit half-assed, weren't they?
Generally one of your better dances.
And then Tess said immediately, did you hear that? It's your best dance or something. She mistranslated it to try and make it sound more upbeat.
Every single week when they go there with Claudia, they have no idea what the scores are going to be.
No.
And I have no idea what the scores are going to be.
No, it's true. Well, the judges, it surprises every week,
I find them very, very uncertain. And that uncertainty makes me detest and fear them.
Not, don't use strong words, Mark, when weak ones will do. You can't
no
be Jeff
Shirley
them.
Ballas with my weak summaries.
Anyway, I loved them and I think this was a really nice routine. And again, just I love the shape she makes of her body. I think I just like watching her. I can't really go any further beyond that. I just love watching her.
Bruno sort of says you had a lot of problems with the mirroring, but it was hard.
but it was hard.
It was hard. Someone's going to say, I mean, you've never done this before, which they always say.
Every
I think,
week.
You know, Claudia was saying, what they don't understand is you've never done this before to Chris Ramsey.
Every week,
no one's done it before. If they'd done it before, they'd be dancers.
Yes, exactly. Stop saying that. Do you know who I don't like watching? Saffron and AJ.
Yeah, why is that?
I don't know.
What is it about
this week, they got a nearly perfect score. They got 39. Only Craig gave them a 9. The others were 10s. It was To Your Song, a song that I like.
Yep.
It was a waltz. I like waltzes. It was romantic. I don't know. There's something about the Barbie-like sort of fixed grin on her face. It's just the lack of depth in that woman. I feel terrible. She reminded us this week, she's only 19.
I know.
She's a tiny child and I'm so harsh on her.
So she was born in 2000.
Oh, God.
She does really have that face, which is just, it's the facial equivalent of the noise.
And I think we said this before. It's true. There's just something very, very shallow.
The other thing she does is a slow blink. That is not the sign of an intellectual giant, is it? It's a slow blink.
She doesn't have to be clever, but she just doesn't appear to have. I don't know. It's just all surface with her.
When they finished
as
well.
She is YouTube.
Yeah, absolutely.
She's YouTube.
When they finished, so she looked at AJ. Normally people go, oh my God, and everything. And she just looked at AJ and she went, oh. I was amazed by.
Yes, the emotional reactions seem muted and just like she's not all there emotionally.
No.
I'm not even talking about mentally, just like emotionally. She has one setting.
Yeah.
She's like, that's fine.
Yeah.
Aww.
Happy.
Yeah,
good.
Fine.
Done well.
It's just blandness. I cannot take any more of the blandness.
Yeah.
It feels like the kind of torture they do on, I don't know, Guantanamo or something, where they just slowly drop things on you. It wouldn't hurt. It would just be regular and often. And you'd eventually just go, I'll talk!
Look, I thought the dance, I mean, it was nice. There was a sort of beautiful softness.
High quality, they say.
It was high quality.
Gorgeous.
Do you know what it reminded me of? It actually reminded me of those sorts of dancers that you would see in proper dancing competitions, yeah, where you do sort of go, oh, there's something a bit Stepford Wives about
little,
the whole thing.
A little bit JonBenet Ramsey, a bit creepy.
Yeah, something a little bit unwholesome about it, you know. That's very true.
They're definitely at it, by the way. I'm just putting it, I'm speculating, but they're definitely at it.
He's got a mint girlfriend.
Has he?
I'm not saying that she isn't mint, but this girlfriend, she is peppermint.
Peppermint. Is that what they say?
I believe that's the highest of the mints. Yeah, why not? Why not? We're not going to meet any young people. So yes, it is.
Fine.
She was also dressed. She had a dress on that was like a big poppy.
It was. She was dancing as the Nan's favourite this week.
It really
she?
Is. Yeah. And I think they've made a very, very clever decision there to not go, let's appeal to the young people.
No.
Let's appeal to the ancient.
There is no
people.
Point because they ain't watching.
No, they are not. They're having like peppermint time outside. a ballroom dream, said Bruno. And that was, I thought, it absolutely summed up that slight unreality of the whole thing.
A dream as in something that happens while you're asleep. Sorry.
Very good.
I hate myself for even having these opinions, but I can't lie to you, Mark.
Mm.
You know me too well. I can't. She's so ballsy.
There is something that as soon as she comes on, it's like being in a hot room. Yes. You know, when you're a bit over hot and you're
a bit nodding. Yeah.
I know. I'll probably just go out for a bit and then be fine. Cloying.
I'm seeing now the kind of the cream separating off from the rest of the milk. And I think Karim and Saffron are frequently the top scorers.
Mm.
They are not going to win this competition.
No.
They are not going to get the votes.
I agree with you entirely. Yeah. I would not be upset that Saffron doesn't make the final.
Yeah.
I think she will.
Oh, I don't think she will.
I think
she
will.
Just because her scores are so high.
I think if it comes down to a public vote, I think they have done so much good for themselves by targeting that very elderly.
Well, now I hate them
Isle
even
of
more.
Man, grandma.
They're effectively going door to door and mugging old ladies for their savings. Is this the kind of person you want to win? I mean, is it?
You can see that with AJ, can't you? When they just go, I mean, he had an angel face,
he's
but when I went back up,
handsome.
The biscuit tin had gone. You know, I've been rifled.
Yeah, exactly.
And then we get Kelvin and Oti as the final dance, doing a salsa. A very undermarked. Very, very undermarked.
Absolutely.
An 8 and 3 9.
It was astonishing. The lifts, well, it wasn't even lifts. He was hurling her around the room.
Yeah.
He could have killed her easily with any of those lifts. Didn't kill her. Points for that straight away.
Yeah.
Is it just me that found the, this is so un-me normally, but the VT of him driving the fast car. Jeez.
I absolutely, that put me off him a bit.
Oh, no, it had opposite effect on me.
Oh, really?
I think I'm coming to the menopause.
I mean, that VT summed up a lot of things that I'm not interested
man.
In, which is...
Oh, I couldn't give a shit about cars.
Soap actors, supercars, cars in general, things that are expensive, speed, machines, all of that. I can...
Don't normally like them.
What
but,
I did like is that Kelvin, when he got that trophy from some horrible, tawdry-sounding, like, Las Vegas thing, he showed genuine emotion, and he's never showed genuine emotion on the show before.
Aww.
And he was delighted, and he was yelping up and down like a big gibbon.
Just think what he'll be like when he wins the Glitterball trophy. That's reason enough to
I've
vote for
him. I've got somewhere I'd like you to put that trophy, Kelvin, and then he'll look shamefaced again.
Actually, Shirley didn't sexually harass him this week.
No, that's...
Something's happened there.
It does seem to be that this show is being listened to, because a lot of the things that we do point out, they are happening. It would be nice to receive a check.
We didn't see the Sunday show before we recorded last week's episode, little knowing they had done the first properly big same-sex dance routine between, who was it now, Johannes?
It was Johannes and the
And that incredible pirate dancer who's a pirate. And they're apparently best friends off screen. They're kind of really good mates.
Yeah.
And it was really sweet. They were tweeting each other going, it was an honour to dance with you. I saw a little bit of it. It was so beautiful.
I noticed the pirate announced his engagement this week as if he was going. I love doing these same-sex dance, but it's very important nobody thinks I'm actually gay.
No. just a coincidence, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But that was
lovely.
And
beautifully as
it
well.
It totally paves the way for next year.
What
are they waiting for?
It does. And actually, when I watched it, I thought they'd handled it very well.
Mm.
They didn't make a big thing of it.
Just one couple was heterosexual, one was two men. It was beautiful.
And they didn't have a thing where they had to give a handshake at the start.
or bow to each other.
And they weren't dressed like you would be in the West End, where you were dressed as two coal miners, so it would be part of the theme. It was just two very beautiful men dancing with each other and expressing their joy in the other's performance. I thought it was marvellous.
Bravo.
Yeah, really nice.
Anyway, back to Kelvin and Oti. They did a salsa. I forget what two, though, but it was just, it was great. It was. They always talk about the salsa in the judging afterwards, like, it's a party dance, it's got to make you get up and want to join the couple. Yeah. I totally had that. I had that. And there's a, not just because I wanted to, you know, get up and join them, but because also they just made it look mad fun to be out there.
They did.
Really enjoying themselves. His hips were going like pistons.
And they are. I sort of wonder if he isn't becoming a one-trick hip pony.
Don't even say it. Don't backlash.
Yeah,
the backlash against his immense talent.
He does do the rotating hips every single dance.
He does it for the correct dance. He doesn't do it when he's doing the waltz, the
foxtrot. Oh, there's a bit of it there.
No. He has such, because his limbs are so outrageously long, especially his arms, such incredible control of his own body.
Yeah.
I've never seen an amateur, like, as in not one of the professionals, be able to coordinate and use his muscles that effect.
I would have given him a 10 from the moment it started and he did a moonwalk. You know, I think that's the best thing I've ever seen, with those great big long legs, like Slenderman sliding down a hill. Absolutely brilliant.
And they called him Mr. Powerful Musical Hips. I'm pretty sure that was Bruno, right? Yeah. That sounds like it's got Bruno written all over it.
There is. It's funny when some shows you sort of go, oh, the heavy dead hand of the writer. And you really look at that and sort of go, well, they don't have it here.
No.
So from now on, we're going to rename you Mr. Powerful Musical Hips. Oh, zingy.
And because everything is done with such gusto with Bruno, you sort of go, yeah, what? every time.
And I thought it was nice because they were doing the racing theme.
Yeah.
That halfway through, Kelvin basically gave OT and MOT. flipped her over, took a look under the hood. It was unbelievable.
You're so crude. Must you? And then they wildly undermarked them.
Yeah, really.
And three nines. That was 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10.
Yeah,
and 10
of course it was. And I think it is a funny thing of when they second guess what they think will make good drama, or I'm not quite sure, but it is silly when you don't sort of have a show like a dance like that and just go, well, that was the dance of the night.
I know, absolutely. But I think what I wrote down, knee-jerks wrote afterwards, was that as long as they put them at the top end of the table, obviously for Michelle and Giovanni, this didn't even turn out to be true.
No.
As long as they're near the top of the table, then actually they don't want to get them, they don't want to give them tens, because I think he's basically going to win, isn't he? I don't want to jinx this.
Yeah.
But if he keeps on just bobbing under the radar, he will win this, because he's adorable, humble, beautiful.
He has not.
He's also beautiful.
He has not put a foot wrong.
No.
Not meaning that in a hilarious dance.
Figuratively, physically.
Exactly. He's
been beautiful as well.
He's been quality since. He looks a little bit like a monkey's skull, right?
What are you talking about?
Quite big teeth that are separate from the rest of his face.
Good Lord.
Great big long arms.
Okay.
I'm not shaming him. I'm just stating how it is.
He's beautiful.
So when you're right about saying to Shirley, you know, she calmed it down.
Yeah.
But she went, oh, return of the hips. And then the
she's
audience.
She's still post-operative, so she's trying not to strain herself.
The audience went, ooh. And Kelvin looked at the floor and he just went, kind of. I'm so sorry, Mrs. Arkwright. I didn't mean to burst in.
I want to protect him from her. if I have to throw myself in front of him, I will.
Yeah, as Shirley also, when she gave a 9 in this one, and she really hit that Cleveland sound in her voice. She gave it 9, and she just thought, God, if you were at a dance class, she would just be saying, now, what have I said about leaving pumps by the door? Who's left their pumps by the door?
Could yourself pick your pumps up, please, and take them with yourself out of the door.
You want to be king of the... you're not allowed here. There's very nervous children.
Oh, my God. Can we just also mention that the best thing of the whole episode happened after the dancing had finished, where Claudia kind of got everyone around her and she was announcing, it's like, we can officially now get excited about Blackpool.
Yep.
And Jeanette came on dressed as a train. And genuinely, it's the happiest I've been all week.
It was delightful. It was a surprisingly good costume.
It was a brilliant
that
costume.
That actually sort of seemed to have a working engine.
Yeah,
that
she was the engine,
steam.
And they formed a conga behind her and became the train to Blackpool. It was just absolutely delightful.
It was. I think that was my second favourite moment.
Go on, what was
my,
the first?
My first favourite moment was the return of the jokes.
Oh, yes. Claudia and Tess did that sexy joke about wanting to make love to each other.
I just want to make love to you. And Claudia went, the feeling's mutual.
We're sharing a room in Blackpool next week.
Yeah, and it carried on for a while. And the audience sat there quietly just going,
Quaw.
Oh, I don't know what this is, but I feel like Shirley.
It was hella erotic.
It would be great if it turns out in the wake of Samira Ahmed's...
Oh, yes. Her tribunal.
Her tribunal she's doing about being underpaid.
Yeah, to get equal pay with men.
They genuinely have got Tess and Claudia one room in Blackpool to save on the money. Mike has gone. Do you know what?
Bye, Baggins.
He went out on his shield. Well done, Mike Baggins.
He did
begrudgingly.
Exactly. I know he did exactly what he came there to do. He stayed a lot longer than perhaps he even believed he would. But yeah. I think he did it with really good grace. And I'm glad he was in the competition. He made it really fun to watch.
I'm glad to see him go, but I don't harbour a deep resentment towards him.
He did a
really good job. And oddly, I think he entirely won me over just by his refusal to quit.
I
don't mean quit the competition. I mean quit in every dance they gave him. He just
absolutely
absolutely powered through.
Totally.
I wonder if there's anyone who actually embodies the spirit of Strictly better than he does.
Exactly.
In this series
you've
now.
Got to have the spirit of Strictly. Yeah. He was definitely that. I think you're quite right.
I don't know what you've got till it's gone.
Who is going next week?
Who is going next week? I think it's a really open field.
I mean, Chris is the lowest scorer.
Yep.
I don't want him to go. You definitely don't want Karen to go.
Yes.
But I don't necessarily think Blackpool is the week that a low scorer goes.
No. After this week, I think Karim is actually going to struggle a bit.
I do too.
I think
I'm not sure how many votes he's getting.
No.
If he's if people who can get four nines are now in the dance-off, then literally all bets are off. So.
Yeah. I think Emma and Anton are coming to the ceiling of what they can do.
Nope.
I know we disagree with that.
That's not happening. Also, they're getting the votes. I promise you now.
Yeah.
If I could see the numbers, I guarantee you.
Mm.
Anton's fans have hot phone dials.
But that hasn't proved the case over the last 17 series.
Well, this time it's definitely true.
I can see anyone going. I would say the people who I think are safest
are
Kelvin and Saffron.
I think Saffron's not safe.
I think she's really safe. Mm. And I think it's because we underestimate the type of person who will still ring to save someone in
You're
a
right, the
in
nans.
A
she's got
show.
The nans in a chokehold.
Hasn't she?
Just imagine that.
Mum, why is this phone bill for 300 quid? Is this Saffron Barker?
I just think, no, morally she can't win.
I think next week, to be fair, I think Chris Ramsay has to go.
I think you might be right. He might be in danger. But I don't know. He hasn't been in that. Has he been in a dance-off yet?
I'm not sure.
Right. His scores are in the toilet every week. If he hasn't been in a dance-off, then his phone votes must be off the charts.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put him in the bottom.
It's hard
next
to work
week.
Out. I think the British public will not want to get rid of a good dancer over someone who really entertainment wise is good, but will not be. There
but Mark, that hasn't been borne out in previous series, has
it? No, that's true.
The public exists to make you angry.
That's true. They'll probably somehow ring in enough numbers that Quentin Letts will come back in season two. Who do you think is going to go next week?
I think it could be. I think it might be a shocker.
Mm.
I think it might be Karim,
mm.
although he'll probably do a really good routine next week. But now, if Michelle Visage can be in the dance-off, doesn't it just entirely depend now who else is in the dance-off with?
Yes, it does.
Person and of interest.
I mean, if you are, I mean, it's a real worry for me that Michelle Visage, if she goes up against someone like Karim, that the judges will kick her out rather than him.
Well, there'll be a bounce. So next week, I think, because she's been in the dance-off and that was a shocker, she will get more votes next week because people won't want that to happen again.
Yeah.
So I think it could be entirely two different couples, I would guess. I don't think the person who
Emma
ends
Barton
up in that shock
Kelvin.
Red light, they usually get a week's pass. Mm.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, did you notice that Motsi finally got Kelvin's name nearly correct?
She called him Calvin.
It's better than Kevin.
God love her.
Thank you very much for joining us. We do appreciate it.
Yeah.
And
we will
see you next week when either, I think we decided it would either be Chris, Karim, Michelle, Kelvin or Saffron.
Or one of the others.
Or one of the others.
Definitely.
We'll be going home. But it's Blackpool. How exciting.
Yay.
I read a little bit about Blackpool's history as to
why.
Lovely. it's so important to dancing. And it's just, it was the destination before the package holiday of the industrial working classes. So all across Lancashire and from Scotland in Glasgow, people would go down to Blackpool. And so you get all the ballrooms opened up there for them and things like that. And that's, as someone says, it's like the Blackpool Tower is the equivalent of the Eiffel Tower, only with the smell of fried onions and chips everywhere.
As in, much better then. Yummy.
30 times better.
Are we going to Blackpool, Mark?
Yes, we are.
Okay, we are sharing a hotel room.
We are, with Claudia and Tess. Yeah, unfortunately, they wouldn't do it unless you were there.
Fair dinkum.
Yeah, all three of you have been given their stun guns.
And pepper spray. Jolly good. Well, next week then.
Fantastic. So until then, keep listening, downloading, emailing. You can tweet us. You can say hi. You can live your life, but leave 5-star reviews. Bye.
Bye.
GreatBigOwl.com.
Hello, I'm Chris England, and I'm here to tell you about the Fun Factory podcast, available now on Great Big Owl. Each time, I will be reading a couple of chapters of my novel, The Fun Factory, a historical comedy about the history of comedy. So it will kind of be like a free audiobook, which you can listen to at the gym, or jogging, or at your desk while pretending to do your job, or on the train without the embarrassment of people seeing you actually reading a book like some kind of swot.